It's time for the Midwest Outdoors with Fred Ramsey and Mark Tobin. Brought to you by Reed Chevrolet, the Hearing Connection in St. Joe, the Sports Medicine Store, and Sportsman's Outfitters and Marine. Now here are Fred Ramsey and Mark Tobin.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of the Midwest Outdoors. Tickled to death to be with you this Saturday and every Saturday in here with my co-host, my bestest friend, the greatest guy to walk the face of the earth, Mark Tobin. Did you know you were that good?
No.
Okay.
But thank you.
I volunteered. You know, I'm always throwing you in the soup somewhere.
Yes.
And so I volunteered you yesterday.
What do I get to do now?
Well, I got a buddy of mine that's going to Nome, Alaska to hunt grizzly bear with a bow and arrow.
Wow.
The shot should be between 7 and 10 yards.
That's a little close.
And these are not the biggest bears in the world. They're 9.5 footers.
With a bow.
With a bow.
That close. No, no thanks.
So they need a bait. They're going to stake somebody out on a sandbar.
You think I'd make good bait?
I said, I got the perfect person for you.
Thanks for that.
And he is serious. They're going to Nome, Alaska. And this guy's, I think, like 98% success ratio on bears.
Dang.
And it's a real serious deal.
Well, I would hope that the guy would have some kind of firearm backup.
Oh, he does, I'm sure. But it probably, you know, it's in these little narrow rivers, and the fish, the salmon are coming up in there in September. And he's going to be point blank. It's going to get real serious real quick. Mm-hmm. And bears have a tendency of whatever hurts them, they hurt you.
Yeah, you're right.
They got a bad attitude.
On a good day. No, I would have no desire for that, no.
It'd be, you know, he's such a nice guy. And I told him when we parted ways, I said, it's probably the last time I ever see you. And we'll see you around the gulch, you know. Ugh. But unbelievable.
Yeah, that's hardcore. Nope.
You have no inkling to do that?
None whatsoever.
Huh?
You know, the old saying is, what doesn't kill you will make you stronger, except bears. Bears kill you.
Bears kill you. My dad always said, don't shoot something won't run from you.
Oh, yeah, right.
There's a lot of validity to that.
No doubt.
But those, you know, I don't think the average, and you see it on TV and all this stuff, but when you sit down and the bear's head is wider than your chest.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they got claws on them about 6 inches long.
Right.
I did an interview one time years ago with a guy who basically almost got consumed by a grizzly bear. And he was a guide, and the guy had shot the bear, and the guy was on a time restraint. The guy was out of New York that shot the bear. It was his client. And he went into the Thule's knowing that this bear wasn't hit right. But they had to get something going here, you know, because the guy's flying out the next day. And so he knew better. And he said he was down on his hands and knees crawling around. The blood kept getting less and less and less and less. He said it was a great big log. He said, I was on one side and the bear was on the other. And when he stood up, he swatted him.
Oh, my gosh.
And about, I think it took one of his eyes out. Ugh. And we about scalped him. And then the bear jumped on him. And he said, the only thing that saved me, he said, I got a huge head. I was bald-headed, and he said, it was like eating an apple. He said, he just kept corn on me.
Oh, my gosh. That's terrible.
And he told it so funny. I said, well, what do you mean? What do you remember about that? And he said, I remember his breath.
Really?
Being so bad.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
That's...
I dated a girl like that one time. But anyway.
That's all you remember is the breath?
Yeah. Well, I remember other things. But this is a family-based show. And it is? Yeah.
It was.
It was. And but I'm telling you, hunting a grizzly bear with a bow and arrow, you need to kind of psychoanalyze yourself.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, with a bow and arrow. And that getting up that close and personal? No,
And just think what you've gone through, though, Mark. You've had a hook in you.
Yeah, right. That's about the worst that's ever happened to me. Kind of pales in comparison, doesn't it?
Do you remember when you did that? When you had to go to the hospital, didn't you?
It was horrible. Well, the first thing I did, well, it was a white bass that I had caught. And I went to put my finger in its mouth, and it flipped. And I was using a crankbait which had two sets of treble hooks on it. Red Eye Shad is what I was using. And it flipped, and that hook went into my finger. Well, you know, white bass, they come out of the water fresh, and they like to wiggle. And it wiggled, and each time it wiggled, it was driving the hook further and further into my finger.
Ow!
Well, I'm screaming and trying to get the fish to hold still, but I couldn't. But you know, long story short, the guy I was fishing with, he cut the hook off, so I had the hook in my finger. We went to the marina not too far from my place down there, Holiday Hills Marina. And Danny, he is the owner of the marina, and I went in there and said, do you know how to get a hook out of a finger? And I showed it to him, and he said, just a minute. So he left, and he came back and sat down. He had a bottle of Crown Royal and a shot glass for me. He said, that's the best I can do for you.
Yeah.
he didn't want it to get anywhere close to that. So
allegedly, there's a way of putting a piece of monofilmament around
yeah,
the throat
right.
and then pull backwards at the
yeah,
same
you,
time.
You but put downward pressure yeah. on the shank of the hook. Yeah. But this hook had got into the bone.
Yeah.
So I had to go.
Oh, it was into the bone.
Yeah.
Huh? That's deep.
Yeah, it was deep. And so I had to go to the hospital. And even the doctor tried that. Three times he tried that with the monofilament.
Uh-huh.
And he'd pull, and I'm holding my arm down, and he would pull so hard he'd lift my hand up while I'm pushing down as hard as I could. So he gave up on that, and then he got a fortunately, he had numbed my finger, or I'd have killed him. But he wound up having to cut it out.
Cut it out with a...
With a scalpel.
Oh. Take a couple days, heal up.
It was numb for almost a year.
Wow.
Yeah, it was no fun.
Is that the only hook you've ever had in you?
No, I had... We were doing a television show. It's kind of funny, too. We were doing a television show for the American Outdoorsman. And we were down at Wolf Creek, Coffee County Lake now. It was Wolf Creek back then. And
is this before they got mean?
No, they were always mean.
Oh.
But anyway, saw some seagulls diving, and so went over there to investigate. Figured it was probably some white bass. And I cast, and I using a lead spoon, so I had a real long cast. And a seagull dove down. Don't know what thought it was, but my line got looped over its wing. So I got it up to the boat, and I didn't want to hurt the bird, and so I broke off the spoon with a treble hook on it, set it down in the boat, and I tried to get the line off of the bird. Well, it came up at my face, and I jumped up, and when I knelt back down, I knelt on that spoon.
Ow!
And it went right under my kneecap. And Rob, you remember Rob?
Uh-huh.
Rob was the cameraman back then, and you know, I couldn't get it out, so he grabbed a pair of needle-nose pliers and tried to pull it out. He wound up bracing his legs on the side of the boat and using both hands to try to pull it out. Finally got it out, but you can't believe how hard your skin is tougher than you can believe. And, yeah, so that was – he had – the first thing he did was when I got the hook in my knee, he got the camera and came in doing a close-up. And I thought, put the freaking camera down.
Get this hook out. But, you know, it could always have been worse. Could have been a bear.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. Hey, real quick here, we're going to holler at my buddy Tim here. Tim, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great, guys.
Good. You guys, DU, Missouri DU's got a gun raffle ticket sale thing going on. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yes, sir, we do. And today's actually the last day to purchase tickets.
Okay.
It's a five-gun raffle. It's online, and it's open to Missouri residents only, so your Kansas listeners can't not participate in this. But our five guns we have are we have Benelli Super Black Eagle 3, have a Timber Custom 2 two-tone 45 ATP, a really beautiful handgun.
Beautiful.
Our third prize is going to be a TriStar Viper 12-gauge. We also have a Henry Lever Action 22, another beautiful gun. And our fifth and final gun is a Marlin Model 60 22 caliber.
Wow.
And it also comes with a scope. So we've got five really nice items here. And like I say, today's the last day for that. Tickets are one for $25, three for $60, or seven tickets for $100. And that's online. You can go just Google, do a search on Ducks Unlimited, make it into the Missouri page, and look for events, and it'll be listed there.
Cool.
I know your listeners are very wise and talented and can find their way across the web to that location. Again, it's at Ducks Unlimited.
Wow. That's going to be good. You know, your odds are going to be really good to win a gun.
Yeah.
I mean, the auction. Yeah.
Certainly are.
Yeah.
You know, certainly if you buy, the seven ticket packages, your odds are pretty good. We're going to do our drawing on July 13th. We have an event in Sedalia that day called the Grand Giveaway. And that's where we're going to actually do the drawing. And the winners will contact the winners most likely that day. And then we ship those firearms to a FFL dealer near them of their choosing.
Well, I'll tell you what, that's a cool deal. I'm glad that you're doing that. I know you guys work real hard for Ducks Unlimited, and the money goes to Ravens and Baby Ducks. A Benelli, a Kimber, a TriStar, and a Henry, you couldn't go wrong.
Right.
Awesome.
You know, and I can speak for Missouri, what Ducks Unlimited has done in Missouri over the years. They've worked on over 115,000 acres, and they've spent over $18.5 million in Missouri.
Wow.
There's three larger projects still going on in the state, helping the government agencies out with some of their wetlands. One is Clarence Canyon and Swan Lake, and then down at Shell Osage. And obviously the Shell Osage project has been delayed a little bit with all the water they've taken to Truman Lake. And so anyway, DU is actually spending quite a bit of money in Missouri at this time. It's a very important state in the flyway. You know, same with Kansas. You know, they put a lot of money into Kansas also. That being a different flyway and outside of my state I work in, I'm not familiar with the Kansas projects. But I'm really proud of what Ducks Unlimited is doing for waterfowl hunters and outdoorsmen and bird watchers or whatever here in the state of Missouri at this time. It's very recognized in Missouri's important flyway stopover for migrating waterfowl and water birds. And lots of good things are happening in the state of Missouri in wetland conservation.
Well, Tim, thank you for getting up and joining us again. Go to the Missouri. Now, let me see if I got this right. Missouri DU, or just go to the DU down to events.
Go to Ducks Unlimited, then look for your state, Missouri, and local events, and it'll be in there. And it shows the guns that are being online raffled. It has a buy tickets tab and that sort of thing.
Well, good. Keep up the good work, buddy. I'm proud of you. All right, kid.
Thank you, sir. It'll be a great day.
All right.
Yeah, very good.
What a cool deal.
Yeah.
I mean, your odds, you know, if you're going to take a risk, and money's tax deductible, you know, on DU, but gee whiz, this is cool.
Yeah, even if you don't win a gun, still the money's going to a great, great organization.
If you guys want to, I'm going to give you his phone number. I didn't ask him if it's okay, but I'm sure it is. 573 is the area code. What's that say? It's the east side of state, isn't it? 573? St. Louis? 573-303-7776. So if you've got any additional questions or want to talk to this fine gentleman, Tim James from Ducks Unlimited, he's the eastern, I think, director of DU, of the state of Missouri. But that's going to be cool. Now, you talk about TriStar, and he rattled that offer real quick, and I've got... Formerly, maybe. Did I give you that catalog, Mark?
Nope.
Okay, I got it somewhere. Here it is. Ah, I covered up. I got to do the nickel tour with TriStar here in Kansas City.
Yeah, and you were really impressed.
I was really, really, really impressed. Tommy took the time out of his life to go through all these guns with me, and there's just they have got it going on. And there's nothing wrong with TriStar gun. Take a real serious look if you're thinking about a new gun for the upcoming hunting season. And priced right. The Viper G2 Sporting. That's that orange and black one.
That's just the coolest looking gun.
Isn't that cool? And I showed it to a guy today, and he said, the ducks might see that orange. That'd be too late.
Yeah, right.
You might check those guys out. That was really cool to go through there and see all their guns. And
where are they at?
We were up here on Armor Road off I-29.
I'll be darned.
It's something. They don't give tours or anything, but I happened to have the media thing working with Delta on this deal, so they let me come in the door. So what the hey? Who we got lined up for guest?
Jeff Williams is going to be here. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, love Jeff.
Yeah, he's a good man.
Yep.
Has his boy got a guide service?
Yeah, he does. Hayden Williams just graduated from high school, and he guides for crappie, catfish. Even if you want to go bow fishing, he'll take you bow fishing.
Wow.
In fact, I might be able to get him on next week. I would love to have him on.
Yeah,
he's just
fun.
Such a great kid, and I've watched him grow up. And he has just always had a knack for being able to catch fish since he was knee-high to a grasshopper.
Hmm.
And, I mean, you just can't get that kid off the water, but he's developed what's becoming a very successful guide.
Is he as good as you, Tobin?
He might be better.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, that goes, no question.
We are brought to you by Highway Trailer Sales. My good friend, speaking of good humans, Terry Lee, El Presidente. Maybe we get him to run on the independent side as for political candidate.
He doesn't want that.
He don't want that?
No, who would?
Terry would. He's tough.
You got me.
He's a good guy. I like him a lot. Sales, service, and parts, 1850 Southern Road, just west of Worlds of Fun. Just off 435 up here. If you guys that are hauling these 18-wheelers and you need brakes, leaf springs, you need wiring harnesses, whatever you need, bearings, they got 10 service bay garage. They actually got their trailers on sale, which doesn't happen very often. I think maybe once a year. There's nobody finder. I can't say enough good things about this guy. He's been my sponsor now for quite a while. We did this on a handshake. That's the kind of guy you're dealing with, up straight and honest. Again, it's located Highway Trailer Sales, Sales, Service, and Parts at 1850 Southern Road here in Kansas City. And just don't talk to your secretary. She's mad at me. It's okay. I don't know why. I'm such a sweet, lovable, cuddly host.
Fuzzball.
Fuzzball. Yep. My goodness. Highway Trailer Sales. Good humans up there. You're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. Going to take a little break. We'll be right back with you. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. We are proudly sponsored by King City Lumber Company, King City, Missouri. If you've not been to King City, Missouri, you should. One of those towns you go back and just hang out on the town square, lay around a little bit. Not much going on at King City except for the greatest people in the world come from King City, as King City Marty and Monty Tunks. If you're looking to build an outbuilding because the flood took yours away, these are the guys to do business with. Go by their website. I can't do them justice on the air here. Go to kingcitylumber.com. And you'll be on there about 20 minutes, just like I was the first time. I was on there 20 minutes. The second time, I was on there yesterday for about 30 minutes because I think I'm going to have to redo some things. Push the old cabin over, take a bulldozer, and stomp it in the ground.
You think you're going to have to do that, really?
Yeah, I do. It's awful bad.
Gosh, that's terrible.
And and maybe not. We'll see. I get the siding off of it, and we'll take a look at this stuff. But it's just not good, and it's a lot of people going through this. With the flood water, I'm going to have to replace buildings. Just build them up higher the next time, so everybody says. It's like, yeah, I'll fly in a slab of cement and put them up higher.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Okay. But anyway, a lot of you are going to go through this, and maybe you guys need a barn for your combine or tractor. These are the people that you do it, and they do it right. I've been in some of their buildings that are 20 years old, look like the day they built them. They are master carpenters, first-rate lumber. There's nobody finer than kingcitylumber.com. Please go to the webpage, and you will find a real plethora of buildings to look at. And if you don't see it, they'll help you design it, and they'll get you going on the darn thing. So what the hey. Lake levels are unbelievable.
I know it. And just when I thought everything was starting to come down a little bit, lo and behold, some of the Kansas lakes came up this week. Milford is up 30 feet high now. Last week it was 27 feet high. Tuttle Creek is back up to 57 feet high. It was down to 53 feet high, but 57 foot high still. Perry is up 3 more feet from last week. It's 20 feet high.
Wow.
Not 28 feet high.
Wow. Double wow.
Yeah. Clinton is 21 feet high. It's unbelievable. Smithville has even come up. Smithville was 3 foot high. It's 6 foot high now. That doesn't seem like much compared to these other lakes. Hillsdale from 9 foot high last week to 11 feet high this week. Stockton has stayed stable, but it's 17 feet high. Palme de Terre has stayed stable, but it's 24 foot high. And all that water's got to go down through Truman. Truman is 27 foot high this week. So it's down 6 feet from its peak. But still, 27 foot high, and so I mean they're running a lot of water. They're running over 40,000 CFS, and they're going to be running water for a long time. All that water's got to come down from these other lakes down through Truman and into Lake of the Ozarks, and it's good. It's going to be running for a long time. That's not a bad thing as far as fishing goes. I mean that you know as long when they're running water like that, the fishing is fantastic. And I talked to Richard Bowling yesterday. You ought to see go to his Facebook page. and see the fish that he caught yesterday. He for about a month he had quit fishing on Truman because the water was too high, and he'd been fishing on Lake of the Ozarks because the crappie fishing was so easy. Mm-hmm. But he got back up on Truman Lake this past week, and well, he is catching some big fish.
Blue cats?
No, crappie.
Crappie.
Big crappie. Gigantic crappie. 20 foot of water, 14 foot down on top of willows is where he's fishing on the main lake. And it's just fast and furious right now. And then still not a ton of traffic out on the lake. Now, below the dam's a different thing. There, that's especially on the weekend, that's become a very social event.
Yes, it has.
But they're catching a lot of fish. The thing with the crappie down there is they're just catching a lot of little ones. You have to wade through tons of little ones to get a keeper. But the blue calf fishing is spectacular, really, really good. They are catching some hybrids.
Oh.
Catching some out on the main lake. Now, according to Richard, he says most of the guys he's talked to are using live shad. But this is just the time of year where they are feeding very aggressively, and you shouldn't have to do that. You know, normally get out early and late, and lead spoons are really good. Sometimes you can get them on topwater bait, but I guess there's just a ton of shad out there right now. The new hatch and the new hatch fry are out in just swarms of these little bitty things. And a lot of times you'll see white bass busting into those shad like that. You see a lot of surface activity. And there are times when this time of year in particular where they can be a little bit particular about what size of bait you offer them. Normally you see a fish surface and you throw anything near it and they're going to whack it. But it can be a little frustrating sometimes. You see a bunch of white bass running and you throw whatever at it and they just ignore it. You need to downsize. You need to match what they're eating. And they're eating these little one-inch. They're chowing down, just stuffing themselves with these little one-inch shad. So until those shad get a little bit bigger, they can be a little bit particular about what it is that they
eat. Been there, done that.
So I'll put on a little tube jig, a little crappie jig. And that works real well this time of year. Or a little tiny, Castmaster has a little tiny spoon, a one-inch spoon. And that'll work pretty good, too. But if you experience that, try downsizing. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it's good now, and it's going to stay good all through the month of July and August. Ought to be really good because they're going to be running water all summer long.
Have you in your fishing career ever saw when the white bass run the shad up on the bank?
Not on the bank.
I had a guy tell me about that, and I think he's a straight shooter. Of course, fishermen contend to
exaggerate. A little.
But he said he was back on Truman, and he said the white bass came in there and literally ran the shad up on the bank.
Well, I'm not surprised.
I've heard of that. I've never seen it, and I think it's probably possible.
Like at Truman, come out of the dam area where the lake opens up, and it's a big, long stretch of big, wide-open water. I've seen several miles of white bass surfacing. It's been several years, a lot of years, probably 12, 15 years ago I saw that.
Yeah.
But miles, absolutely miles of white bass surface. And they didn't go away. A lot of times you'll see them come up and surface, and then they go away pretty quick. But these just stayed up and stayed up and stayed up. It was so much fun. And fortunately, I had one of my sons with me, so got to enjoy the experience of a lifetime.
Yeah, it's a cool thing. And, you know, I was talking to a guy about that one time. About seeing, you know, acres of shad or, you know, white bass busting the shad up on top. He said, I've never seen anything. He said, why do you want to make a statement like that? And I said, well, you know, I've been there. I saw this. Oh, he said, I don't know. You know, he just didn't, in no way would he ever believe that, you know. And I was telling about all the white bass we caught in one day. And he said, listen, son, I've been fishing that lake forever. I never seen nothing like that. You know, so it's just certain people, you know, if you hung them with a new rope, they'd bitch.
Yeah, right.
You know?
And, you know, we talk about white bass. I love white bass.
Oh, yeah.
They're fun to catch. You know, there's great times bite. When they're very easy to catch. But they get a bad rap. A lot of people don't think they like to eat white bass because they're more of a fishy flavor to them. But the thing about a white bass, and I do this with catfish and most any fish, is they've got a layer of red meat between the meat and the skin. And you just got to remove that red meat. And then there's a vein that goes right down through the middle of the fillet. And just I make a V and cut that out, but cut all the red meat out. If it's a catfish, any yellow meat, cut that out, or any brown meat. And it just makes all the difference in the world. And the thing about white bass is they've got a very firm textured meat. They taste just as good as, well, you pretty much just taste whatever it is that you coat them in because they have no strong flavor whatsoever. As long as you get that red meat out. If you don't get the red meat out, then they're oily, and I can understand why they get a bad rap, but try that.
I ran a guy the day. We actually had a listener last Saturday. I think we had three, four, maybe. But anyway, he said, I heard you, Mark, talking about eating gar.
Oh, yeah, right.
And I said, yeah, he did. He said, oh, he didn't either. I said, yeah, he did. I, you know, took a pair of roofing pliers and, you know, jerked the skin off of them. But tin snips.
Yeah, 10 snips and a hacksaw.
Yeah.
It was a pain. You know, there's better ways to do it. I just didn't know. You know, that was the first time.
But he said, seriously. I said, yeah, he did eat gar.
Yeah, it reminds me of shark, if you've ever had good grilled shark. And I grilled
texture.
It. I didn't. Yeah, texture-wise. And flavor. I mean, very, very, very mild. But it's I cut it into about inch and a quarter steaks, inch and a half steaks. And grilled it just like I would a steak. I put a little seasoned salt, a little seasoned pepper on it. And then before I was done, just put a little garlic butter on it. That's how I do a steak. Mm-hmm. And it was exceptionally good. It's just such a pain to clean them.
Yeah.
You know, I would probably, if I did it again, take a Sawzall.
Sure. Cut them in chunks and then take the skin off of them.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly what you should do, I think, on the deal. But it's a cool looking meat, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pearl. It's a pearl white. Beautiful looking meat. Yeah.
I don't think he's believing a word we say. I don't care.
It is true. I'm telling you. I know people that have given up bass fishing to do nothing but fish for gar, and you know, with bow and arrow. And
yeah, I got a buddy of mine now has gone through the phase of bass fishing, crappie fishing, white bass, and now he's down catching carp because he loves the fight.
Boy, they do fight. They will straighten out your string.
Oh yeah, and he's up there fishing off one of those ditches backed up. And catching some monster carp.
Well, you know, in Europe, that's the number one game fish.
Yeah. And the fight is phenomenal.
Yeah, it is. I've had them take my reel off of my rod.
Oh, yeah. They don't ever quit. You know, a wild carp that's been in the Missouri River or whatever.
Oh, boy.
What's the deal, Gavin? We're about out of time, but what about Gavin? Well, let's talk about Gavin Points when we come back. But we also need to talk about Jackson Kayaks. I know where there's one at, and I want to send you, and I'm going to volunteer you
it's
again.
It's still there?
It's still
Can
there.
Can you get to it yet?
No. Well, it's down, but the mud would be up to your rear. But I didn't say what. But you ought to go get that.
Well, I'm telling you, the kayak fishing is becoming wildly popular.
This is the deal, isn't it?
And the Jackson Kayaks, they've got them over at Sportsman's Outfit and Marine. If you're in the market, if you're thinking about getting a kayak, I mean, you see them everywhere now.
Yeah.
But the Jacksons are the most stable of the kayaks. And if you're going to be fishing, that's what you want. You want a stable kayak. And they've got them. They've got them with so many different accessories. They've got some that you can pedal.
Mm-hmm.
They've got some you can replace the pedals with a trolling motor. And that's the way to go fishing.
Sure.
Hands free.
Yeah, jet unit goes on them now.
I saw that. That's crazy.
Yeah. Go too fast.
Yeah.
But, you know, even for waterfowl hunting, like these public areas, and it's just a cool thing. You know, I saw the guy do it. You know, I couldn't believe it.
Well, my nephew was fishing Lake of the Ozarks, and he had a kayak, and he was trolling. It was this time of year, right after the spawn had occurred, and he was just able to move that at the right speed, and he was catching white bass and crappie. These guys on the bass were fishing the bank, and they kept looking over at him, and they finally came over. What are you doing? We haven't got a bite. And he had a stringer full of fish.
Wow.
And it was just the presentation. It was the speed. It was something that he could achieve with a kayak that they couldn't do with a – But check them out. If it's Sportsman's Outfit and Marine, they're out in Belton, last Belton Atkinson.
We come back. Who we having?
Jeff Williams.
Jeff Williams. So that'll make a good radio show. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. We're going to take a little break. We'll be right back with you. Yeah. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. We had Jeff Williams. Is he around somewhere? We got lost him in the shuffle?
He did not answer both of my calls.
He's probably asleep. He's been known to do that.
He's a sleepyhead.
he must be sleeping.
Yeah, what the hey? I'd be sleeping, I mean, if I wasn't here. You know where I'd rather be right now? I stepped out of my house this morning. It was 79 degrees. Excuse me. 79 degrees, and I thought, I'd like to be on the weir.
Boy, would I ever.
The shad got to be going, the white bass, the hybrids have just got to be going nuts.
The weir is, for people that don't know, this is on Truman Lake in front of the dam. The weir was a dam that was built, actually, in front of the dam. If you look at it on your locator, it looks exactly like
a dam.
Like a dam. And it was built so that the water that is drawn out of Truman and goes down to the Lake of the Ozarks is the same temperature as the water that's in Lake of the Ozarks. So they learned a lot when Table Rock Dam was built.
Yeah.
And the river down below Table Rock at the time was one of the premier smallmouth bass fisheries in the United States. And the water at Table Rock, when that was built, the water that came out of that dam, because it was so deep, I don't remember if it's 150 feet deep or whatever it is, but the water is usually around 55 degrees that comes out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it ruined the smallmouth bass fishing down there and the largemouth bass fishing. So to avoid that on Lake of the Ozarks, they built the weir. So the water is pulled off of the top of Truman Lake and then released into Lake of the Ozarks. And the water is the same temperature, so it doesn't affect the fishing. But it makes a great piece of structure. Now, do you know the difference between cover and structure? Because people, including professionals, they misuse these terms all the time.
I probably do, too.
Structure, people say, that's good structure, and they're referring to a tree or a brush pile or something like that. That is not structure. That is cover. Structure are the things that are on the bottom of the lake, like the weir. Weir is a great piece of structure. It provides a current break, especially when they're running water, and the fish congregate on the backside, sometimes right up on top of it, and the bait fish are there trying to get away from the current on the backside, and the game fish are there, and it just is a great piece of structure. But again, the difference between structure and cover is the structure are features on the bottom of the lake, whether it's a point or a bluff or a rock pile or things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But cover are the things that are on the structure, the brush piles and things like that. So.
You're splitting hairs. I don't care what it is. I don't want to know any fish around it.
Well, that's all that matters, really.
Yeah, right? It's all that counts, the deal, Mm-hmm. And we've got the new depth finder out. People need – I've had so many people. We had calls and talked to a guy about the new depth finder that Garmin is making a little bit.
The Live Scope?
The Live Scope. What a piece of equipment.
Yeah, and did you see Lowrance has just come out with their version?
Yeah.
Live Sight.
Yeah.
Well, and there's been a lot of fanfare. This is supposed to have been coming out for quite a while, and it was said early on that this was going to be so detailed, the Lowrance version, that you could actually see the fins on the fish moving as they swam.
Yeah.
It's not like that.
Yeah.
This version is not like that. Yeah. I don't know if they just felt pressure. They needed to get something out there because Garmin they're just cleaning up with the Live Scope. But it seems to me, maybe from what I've seen anyway, they should have probably developed this a little longer. It's better than a lot, but it's just not, that doesn't have the clarity that the Live Scope does. The Live Scope is just unbelievable. I'm talking again to Richard Bowling, down on Truman, and he was telling me how it's changing the way he fishes. He thought the crappie always fed up, so he always would try to fish above him. But he's seen fish go 5 to 6 feet down chasing his bait.
Hmm.
And he's also seen fish pass his lures and turn around as many as 5 or 6 feet away, turn around and come back and hit it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I wonder how that happens. But
yeah, here's the downside of Live Scope. Is you realize how many fish are there and how many few you're catching.
True.
And it how can many, be a little bit on the depressing side.
I would think it would kind of shake your confidence a little bit.
Yeah.
In fact, I've talked to a couple of people that they want to know what they're doing wrong now. Well, they're not doing anything wrong. It's just that's fishing. It's just now you're getting a very clear picture of what's going on.
You were talking about, when I've been there, you've been there in a school of white bass, but there's nothing. You know they're there, mm-hmm. and you see them, and you can't catch them.
Right.
And that bothers you.
Oh, I know.
It'll ruin your day. And you're right. And what you got to do is just try something unique and different and weird and try to get something going on, on the deal. Downsize on the deal. So I don't know. Ladies and gentlemen, our guest is a no-show, it looks like. But if you want to join us on the air, 913-3810-810. If you're thinking about going outdoors somewhere and going fishing or taking a vacation, maybe we can help you out a little bit. 913-810-810-810. Next Saturday, I am shooting for, and I haven't talked to Mark about this, so I'll blindside him a little bit, but we're going to try to get the guys on from Delta Waterfowl. They should have assembled the Maypon count for waterfowl.
Oh, good.
So very involved, very cloak and daggerish, and I don't know why. I can tell you right now, just by looking at the drought monitor, where they're at and what's going on. You know, I've been doing this so many years, but we're going to try to get John Devney on, or one of those guys from Delta, if they'll be kind enough to come by. We've got a Delta waterfowl banquet coming up too, and then on July the 13th here in Kansas City, you'd better get a ticket.
Oh, that's just right around the corner.
Oh boy, and I hear they are doing just great on that thing.
Isn't it just a little early to be thinking about ducks?
No, never. 365 days out of the year. The one up in St. Joe, which we'd love to have. We need some volunteers, guys. If you would get a hold of me, I'd appreciate it. We need a couple guys to help set tables, and you're going to get fed, and we get a Delta membership out of the thing, I think. I might be wrong on that, but at least you're going to get fed. But this one here is August the 17th at the Knights of Columbus, which is the 1204 North 49th Terrace, St. Joseph, Missouri. The doors open at 5 o'clock. Dinner's at 7 o'clock. Platinum sponsors $1,000, and that's 8 event tickets, 8 Delta waterfowl memberships, hats, and koozies, reserve preferred seating, preferred advertising on social media during the event, and 10 chances to win a sponsors only gun. And those are high-end guns. There's usually $1,500, $2,000 shotguns. The gold sponsor consists of 8 sponsor tickets. That's 500 American. Gold sponsor, $500, 8 event tickets, 8 Delta waterfowl memberships, Delta hats and koozies, reserve seating, advertised on social media, the event, and 4 chances of a sponsor's only gun. So if it's just maybe the guys at work and you want to only pony up $250, that's called a silver. That's a 4 event ticket, 4 Delta watership memberships, hats and koozies, reserve seating, advertised on social media, and the event, and 1 chance at a sponsor's gun. Only. So, and Mark, I threw him under the bus and volunteered him, but if you have not eaten his cooking, this is worth the trip. You're the best cook I've ever known in my life.
What are we cooking?
Shrimp, pork butts, and chicken.
All right. Sounds good.
Be okay, won't it?
Yeah.
Man, I'm kind of making me hungry just thinking about this. Shrimp, pork butts, and chicken. They don't put it any better than that. So they've got tons of raffle items, live and silent auction, numerous guns, decoys, blinds, gear, home decor, items for kids and ladies, and much, much more. So we'd love to see you up there and be a part of this. Now, here was the confusion that I got a couple calls on. Go to Delta Waterfront and go to events. Well, you had to know the date, I guess, maybe. That's what threw a couple people off that I talked to. But it's August the 17th, so you scroll down to August in the event calendar, and it'll come up with the St. Joe's. Or you can go to the Squaw Creek chapter of DeltaWaterfowl.com, and it'll take your money, MasterCard, Visa, whatever it is, and get you the tickets on the thing. But they are filling up. I think we're going to be sold out the way it's looking to me. Got a lot of enthusiasm on the deal, but we love and need volunteers. If anybody can take the time out of their day on that, or come to a couple of our meetings before this happens, we'd greatly appreciate it. And then also the one again is July the 13th here in Kansas City, which is out here by the Bass Pro Shop out by Independence.
Right.
So going to be kind of cool, I think, on the deal. So
okay. How can people get more information on that?
Well, you go to DeltaWaterfowl.com, go to the events, and scroll down August the 17th on this one. Or you can go to the Squaw Creek Delta Waterfowl chapter on the internet. Log in there, and it'll show you all the times, numbers, all the prizes, things of that nature in regard to this. The if you can get a single ticket, it's $45 at the door. Couples are $70 at the door. I wouldn't count on a ticket being available at the door. That's why I'm trying to impress upon people to we'll make sure they get in, and we'll feed them, but that you might not have a place to sit down. Who knows in the deal. So, but I'm really looking forward to this one in the deal. So,
one of our favorite listeners, and I say one of my favorite listeners, Chris Todd.
He's a good human.
Yeah, and he's one of my favorites because he's absolutely a Peter Sellers fan.
Oh, really?
He understands what we're talking about when we talk some of our Pink Panther.
When we talk about the gin.
He sent us a message, wanted to know if you could share your thoughts on Canadian goose problems. Do we have a problem with Canadian geese? I know. I'm more concerned about what the snow geese are doing than than the Canadian geese. I mean, we have a lot of resident geese here that do a lot of damage, make a lot of mess.
Yeah.
But
I'm kind of vocal. Maybe I might get a little carried away. I better watch what I say here.
Yeah, you got to be careful what you say on the radio.
You got to be careful what you say on the radio. You can't be telling the truth a lot. This thing completely, it started back what they call the cliff dweller geese, and probably should have never been introduced, should have never been down. And as Mother Nature means for waterfowl to go north during the summer, and it keeps the bacteria down and things of that nature. That's just Mother Nature's way of doing that. And some do-gooders started spreading these geese around a little bit, I think. That's my understanding. I might be wrong. They started putting up all these nesting boxes, and that kept a lot of geese here. And now there's places out here, they are considered a menace.
Right.
You know, they're nasty vermin. If you've been around them, you know, the wild ones are different than tame. I call them the tame ones here in the Midwest. But they are out of control, and always amazed me that they just don't open the limit up. And, you know, if a guy gets where he can shoot six a day, he'd get out of bed and go do it. But when they were down to at one time to shoot one a day, you know, you get up 4 o'clock in the morning, take a spread of decoys, go out across Rose Field, lay out in the sun, and pull trigger one time, go home.
Yeah, not worth it.
And, you know, people in the outdoor industry, it's a big brush, are so not wanting to change, I guess, maybe I should say, overprotective at times of deer, or turkeys, of everything that come into your life, especially of these black geese for years there. You know, when I was a kid, Mark, when I hunted up around Squaw Creek, your limit was one black goose a day, they called them, and it was an honor to harvest one of those birds. You know, you just, gee whiz, you know. And we would lay in a plowed furrow out in the middle of a plowed ground because we saw them using that field. And you'd go out there and croak one of them, you know, every once in a while. And it was, we always had it, our Christmas goose, you know, type thing. But now, you know, I mean, the resident geese that are standing around like at Big Lake and Squaw Creek and all across the Midwest, Blue Springs, wherever you want to talk about, they're dumber than sticks.
Right.
And we went up, me and Chris went up, they have that special season that opens up just for, and nobody knows about it, for just a few days there, I think, what is it, in September, October, right in there. And we go up and set out a few decoys, had water standing in the field that year, and blew a call at them. They were over on the refuge, and here they come, about 30, 40 of them. So your limit was four, I think it was, and we get four apiece in no time. So we got eight of them, and next night I think we went up and killed eight again. And then the third night, I don't think we busted out on the deal, but they went the other direction. But they're gullible, and they're stupid. And
well, they're a nuisance.
And they're a nuisance.
And a lot of these little lakes around the Kansas City area, you know, the people that can live around some of these lakes, they can attest to what a mess they are. You know the old saying, like, you know, poop through a goose.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they do, man. They are pooping machines. And
yeah.
They just make a mess of people's yards, and they're so tame that it's hard to scare them away.
Yeah.
But there was a guy, and I don't have his name or number right now, but he had a service where he would go to these places, and he had dogs that would
run them off.
Keep them, yeah.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's hard to get rid of them.
Yeah. Oh, right. Within 100 yards of this door where we're sitting right now.
Yeah, right.
Is black geese.
Yep.
And they walked across the road the other day when I was leaving there with all the little goslings. And cute. Uh-huh. But, you know, they're creating a nuisance.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they're getting a bacteria that isn't right, you know, type thing. So, they probably, hindsight being 2020, they probably shouldn't have done this. You know, that's pretty easy to say on the deal. Now, the other issue, you know, like you briefly touched on, is the snow goose thing.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah. What a problem that is.
Yeah, and speak to that a little bit.
That thing is completely out of control too.
The weed that they feed on, you say you can see from satellite the damage that they do.
And this is counties.
And it's a real slow maturing grass.
Yeah. It's a little. Looks like a clover, and it takes 100 years once they pull it out of the ground. It takes 100 years for it to replace it.
Wow.
You know, and they've, you know, I don't know. There's hunters tend to keep things in balance. Whether you like hunters or you don't like hunters, they do keep it. You know, like last year I hit on I-29 was $8,640. You know, I'm driving 70 miles an hour in dead center, you know. But, you know, hunters, you know, keep things in control regardless. You know, why? I don't know. I don't get me on my soapbox on that. We got a J.D., how you doing this morning? J.D., are you there? Did we lose J.D.? J.D. gave up on us. He wanted to talk fishing. Who was J.D.? You remember J.D.?
J.D.'s a good man.
Is he?
Yeah. Comes from a long line of good men.
Good long of J.D.'s?
Yeah. J.D., call back.
He didn't want to talk to me. I don't blame him. What's the deal out here at Blue Springs, the lake out here?
It's got a lot of hybrids in it. Some being caught right now. You know, after these rains, there's a lot of water that overflows on the backside of the lake and goes from J. Como into Blue Springs Lake.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a great place just to fish from the shore and catch some hybrids. But I see them. I pass by there almost every day.
Yeah.
And there's times of the year, especially coming up in the summer and in the fall, where I see the hybrids out there surfacing.
Do you?
Yeah.
Do they catch big ones? Are they all were harvested there? Or they catch a good quality?
With a lot of 5 and 6 pound fish and some bigger than that.
Oh, really? JD, how are you doing this morning?
Good.
Hey, JD's back.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. What are you up to, JD?
I love you guys. I just wanted to talk to Mark about fishing. Mark, do you take people out on guides or?
I don't, but I would. I mean, I'd take you fishing if you want to go fishing with me.
I mean, I would. We were down at the lake. We're down there at Holiday Hills. I think you're across the street.
No kidding.
Yeah, from where we're at. My son caught a big catfish off the dock down there.
Awesome. How long ago was that?
Last week.
Is that right? Well, I'll tell you. We'll put you on hold and give me your number, and I'll call you. I'd love to take you out, especially this time of year. This is a time I love white bass fishing. And we catch a lot of them July and August. And it can be pretty easy to do. So it'd be a great time to take you out and maybe get into some of the white bass. You
will love
it.
Is this a neighbor on the lake?
Well, we're in Lick Creek. Holiday Hills Marina is a marina. We're about...
Yeah, it's Joe across the street, but...
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you know Joe.
Yeah, absolutely. But, yeah, you bet. Know,
I won't say his last name, but I go down there a lot with... he's a good friend of mine, and we go down there, and, yeah, it's fun. My son's been catching a lot of bass and a lot of catfish.
Cool.
So it's crazy. I just didn't know. I was going to walk over there and say hello. I didn't want to bug you, but I would pay you to drop
for a guy. I wouldn't hear of it, but I'd be happy to take you out. I would love to do that.
So. Yeah, but I love your guys' show. And
well, thanks.
We're fun.
I very much appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, now you won't be strangers now.
Chris Bolig is running our show for us. Chris, could you put him on hold and get his contact information for him?
Put him on hold and contact. Get a phone number for him and deal. You made a new friend.
Yeah,
you know what else we're going to do, too, is we're going to, at that Delta auction up here, we're going to have these 8x10 glossies of Mark Tobin autographed. $41.50 a piece.
Yeah, well, we're not going to go through very many of those. Mom might buy one. My wife might buy one.
No, your wife.
They wouldn't buy one. No, no. They don't want to see my face anymore.
They see you face to face every day. $41.50 is where we'll start the bidding.
Yeah, right. That'd be a dismal failure.
What? Well, could we
negotiate? Where do you come up with some of the stuff you come up with?
Could we negotiate a better term here?
I'll tell you what you need to do. You need to go buy a new truck.
That wouldn't be a bad idea today.
This would be a good day to go up to Reed Chevrolet and get a new truck.
You know what?
That's what I need. I've got to get a new truck.
Unbelievable. You got to see what they got in, man. They got some really cool ones. Man, they got a great selection up here. They're the finest humans to walk the face of the earth.
Well, and Chevrolet. Non-commissioned salespeople. Yeah. It makes the buying experience just so different. It's just no pressure, no hype.
They sold so many trucks the other day, they had to get the sales staff out to help detail them. Yeah. That's how good
I'm not surprised.
Is. Tell you what, go to Reed Chevrolet. They're the finest people to walk the face of the earth. Tell you what, that wraps it up for this edition. You made a new friend today.
Yeah, I'm sorry Jeff Williams didn't get out of bed. Going to have to give him some trouble about that.
Next time I see you, I hope I see you in a great outdoors.
Have a great week. Right. So long, everybody.